Thanks, David. It's always good to be in a room full of people who want to change the world. So this is good. It's been a good news week, you know. Two Democratic governors elected in the States. Schwarzenegger lost all his... And two of them were explicitly anti-union referenda. A school board somewhere in Massachusetts, I think, had put in intelligent design into the curriculum. All eight of them got defeated. George Bush is at 33%. Yes. And Tony Blair, yes, Tony Blair got defeated on wanting to keep people for 90 days before being charged. I'm always talking about such bad stuff. I like good news. Anyway, it's deep integration, annexation, the Americanization of Canada, NAFTA on steroids. Call it what you will. That's what we're talking about tonight. And it reminds me of this wonderful cartoon by Aislinn during the free trade fight. And it's got Uncle Sam with the big hat on walking alongside a beaver, which, of course, is Canada. And the beaver says, "Okay, Sam. We'll give you everything, but that's our final offer." That's where we are today. The trouble with these guys is even if the Americans don't want to bargain, we keep giving them stuff anyway. Anyway, if this plan by Bay Street goes through and we let Paul Martin and Stephen Harper and Tom DeQuino do it, then it will... I think it's not an exaggeration to say that we'll be the end of Canada. Big business in 1988 got the free trade agreement and said that they could compete with American corporations. This was the big line. We can compete. Well, it turns out they can't. For 15 years they've been losing, and now they have a strategy that says if you can't beat them, join them. And although that sounds flippant, that is essentially what's happened with big business in Canada. They can't compete. And now they want to just have Canada absorbed by the United States, which is what would happen over a period of 20 years. As Maud will tell you, the greatest threat to Canada and its people comes not from a single agreement like it was with the Free Trade Agreement or NAFTA or the MAI. So the deep integration, which is the name that they've given this initiative, is not a single agreement that we can say to Canadians, if you don't stop this by June 1st, we're all going to die, which would be handy because it does tend to mobilize people. So deep integration is really, it's a process. There's so many parts to it. It involves literally scores and possibly hundreds of changes and agreements and adjustments to policies that determine the shape of our country. And they are happening now, as Maud discovered. It's even worse than Maud thought, and Maud's usually pretty good at figuring out these things. And it's happening, of course, with scarcely a word in the House of Commons. It's extremely undemocratic. Scarcely a word in the media. It's almost as if it's old news, and so they don't want to talk about it. But there are hundreds of bureaucrats, as we speak, well, no, they're probably off for the weekend, but hundreds of bureaucrats doing deep integration right now on a whole range of things. Now we can trace deep integration back to particular organizations and particular individuals, but the process is more insidious than that, and it's happening with provincial governments as well, and it's happening in BC, and it's important for us to, when we fight on issues, to look at this and see if it's part of this larger agenda, and there's a number of these that I think are critical. One is BC Hydro, the restructuring of BC Hydro, the privatization of BC Hydro. And of course, they're smarter now. If they just said they were going to privatize the whole thing, we'd be up in arms. So now they do it incrementally and they do it deceptively and by stealth. But the purpose of it is to turn BC Hydro, which used to serve BC, into an export company, which will serve electricity consumers in the United States. That's what it's going to be. In fact, we are in the process of losing control over our transmission lines, so we won't be able to say, you know, who gets priority in those lines. And so we will be paying the price that U.S. demand determines. The priority will not be BC residents or schools or hospitals or even businesses, but the U.S. market. the Terrasen gas sale to Kinder Morgan, and I just heard that it's been approved. We will not have public hearings. A profoundly undemocratic move in this province. Disgusting. Kinder Morgan is this U.S. giant founded by a former president of Enron, structured in the same way as Enron, so we'll never know what the real cost of shipping gas is. And, of course, Mr. Kinder is a close friend of George Bush and a huge contributor to the Republican Party. So the priority of our gas distribution company, one of the largest in the country, will not be to serve BC, but will be to serve the security, the energy security needs of the U.S. empire. That's what it will be. And they'll be using, of course, the profits from, you know, transporting gas to your homes to do that. Maximus, the company, the American company, hired to look after our medical records, of course, is subject to the Patriot Act in the United States, which means the FBI and the CIA and who knows how many other agencies in the United States will have access to our medical records. The Privacy Commissioner in BC ruled on that some time ago and said that they're simply not safe no matter what legislation we have. So all of these things are examples of what deep integration will mean. Canada has been a project of building something east and west against this enormous north-south tug, and what we're seeing now is that south tug increasing. Anytime there's a big public-private partnership, P3, that's another example, because what we're doing by having these big P3 projects is opening the door to large American corporations, which bring their culture, their corporate culture into Canada, and also, of course, once they're here, they have access to NAFTA to make it even worse. So all of these examples show how deep integration can happen by stealth and incrementally. With each step, we become more and more a part of the U.S. economic, political, and military apparatus. But I have to say, it doesn't have to be this way. And if I would hesitate to ever write George Bush and thank him, but the silver lining of George Bush is that Canadians who don't spend a lot of time thinking about who they are or what their values are suddenly going, boy, am I ever not an American? So there is a real upsurge in Canadians' interest in what we have built in this country. I think that this is an enormous advantage for us. And the fact that we have a minority government, and very likely we'll have another minority government. And lastly, just the fact that I'm obsessive about polls and studies about Canadian values, and you'll be happy to know if you don't already, that Canadian values are actually getting more progressive, even though we don't always see that reflected in the politics of the country the way we would like to. But I think if you're talking the raw material of progressive politics, Canadians' values provide that, and I think with the inspiration of Maud and hard work of all of us in this room, we will stop this. Thank you.